Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back at it Friday. We've got a fantastic show for you today. Four consecutive hours. All you have to do, your participation is required, to call 803-0930, 1-800-616-WBEN. It is a Friday show. We've got the car coach, Lauren Fix, at 12:30. We've got the great Carl Calabrese on at 1 o'clock talking about the world, and there's a lot to talk to Carl about. Lauren's going to get into the hidden costs of electric cars. We're going to talk a little bit about Governor Hochul's energy plan, which has got everyone excited. And then we have, in honor of the great Rush Limbaugh, open lines, the last segment of every Friday program. But first, as we approach the weekend, Jim Stelliano, as always, doing what Jim Stelliano does, which is only the best job in the entire tri-state. Can we even have a tri-state? New York City is a tri-state area. Do we have one?
Yeah, we do, I think. We could consider, no, you know what, no.
The tri-county area.
Better.
Yeah, there you go. Jim Stelliano, as always, appreciate you. You know, everyone's talking about this game, this big Buffalo Bills game. And, you know, there's a lot going on with the Bills and the drama. And we all saw the DeMar Hamlin pins, I guess. They all number threes went to everyone. And look, the Bengals coming into Buffalo, it's a home game. That so much playoff attitude, weather, Buffalo, loud fans, tables, ketchup mustard, Elvis, all the things that we come to expect and fell in love with the Bills with the playoffs. But there's this feeling of, well, you still got to play a football game. And, you know, looking at what the experts think, what you think. Is there doom? Is there just, you know, maybe, who knows? Josh Allen steps up. The offensive line comes together. They get a semblance of a running game. Cincinnati didn't look all that impressive against the Ravens. But this is very good. Those wide receivers in Cincinnati, the best tandem of wide receivers in the NFL. What do you think? What's your gut tell you? How do you feel this game's going to go? And are you feeling confident? Do you feel like this, I mean, what they do with DeMar Hamlin at the game, what the emotional tempo is, but you still got to play a football game. And what we know is that as exciting as the New England Patriots game was, and there were some moments where that wasn't all that exciting, but the kickoff returns, there's been, you know, some sloppy play from people that we don't expect to see sloppy play. As we approach the Miami game, there's a lot of swagger. You had a bunch of injuries on their line, and you had a backup, well, a third-string quarterback, rookie quarterback, seventh-round pick. And he looked pretty good. You know, he had a great game, game of his life. At the same time, we didn't have the best performance, and it was way too close. Far closer than the experts expected it to be. And it just kind of leads up to a lot of negativity in the national media. You try to drown all that out. I'm just, you know, get us to where we need to go. But at the same time, You know, I don't feel I don't have the swagger that I used to have, but at the same time, I love the Bills and I want them to win and I expect them to win, but I am cautiously guarded for any outcome, hoping for a victory, feeling that there's a victory. But you never know. There's that nervousness of the playoffs. Haven't felt this in a long time. And it's good. It's good to be in competitive football games. It's good to have the city in a positive light. It's good to see all the attention brought to Western New York. And there was a lot of expectations for the Bills this year. And they had an amazing season. And they will hopefully continue that season and play a game in Atlanta, which, again, has never happened before. A neutral site championship game for the conference. And everyone's talking about that Atlanta game. But the thing that bothers me so much about it is the more we talk about the Atlanta game, we have to not look past the Bengals on Sunday at 3 o'clock. That's the big game. That's the one before there's an Atlanta, before there's Kansas City, before there's a Super Bowl or a championship game. We have to focus on the Bengals in Buffalo. And that's tough. It's going to be a tough one. So here we are as we approach the Bills this weekend. How do you feel? Cautiously optimistic? Swagger? Way confident? Overconfident? What's your take on this whole thing? 803-0930, 1-800-616-WBEN. We'll keep calls open all day on the Bills and your prognostications. David Crosby passed away, and I got to tell you, of all of the icons, now look, the boomer generation is getting older, and we're losing baby boomers every day. And popular culture, music, film, post-World War II, the Woodstock generation, the 60s and 70s, that's when everything went on to steroids, music, television, everything. People grew up, their memories of music and classic music and great music and art and comedy and these individuals that were all superstars were relatively the same age in their stardom and in their heyday, and they're getting older and we're losing them. And in the next 10 years, we're going to lose all of them. It's just the way it is, right? And it seems like, well, we're losing these music icons at a greater clip. Well, you know, Mick Jagger and Paul McCartney, there's going to come a dark day when we're not going to have them anymore. They're in their 80s now, right? We haven't seen this before because, let's be honest, the industry, they created the industry. They really did. That genre of music, but also the pop stardom, the icon status. Elvis Presley in the United States really, you know, cemented that, but it opened up the door for music to transcend into film, transcend into TV. And those characters and those people became, you know, really a part of your growing up. We looked at artists and musicians differently than we ever had in our past. And we put them on pedestals and we bought their lunchboxes and we wanted to be them and we put posters on our wall. And that's when you were young, and now you're in your 40s, 50s, and you're looking at the people that were 20 years older than you and you think, you know, yeah, these guys are going to go. And David Crosby is the most recent to pass away. You know, I remember thinking a long time ago, there are people that die and they weren't, you know, people you agreed with or they were obnoxious in life. And I always thought that, and I always criticize people on all sides. It's not just one side or the other. There's a lot of cruelty and there's a lot, you know, that's what Twitter is designed for, drive-by opinions and really bad takes. But I remember thinking to myself, my personal test is going to come when David Crosby dies. Because David Crosby is undeniably one of the most talented people to ever walk the planet. His harmony, the songs that he wrote, His band's, you know, iconic across the board. And an incredible, uber talented guy. But David Crosby was one of the most obnoxious people. In my personal life, David Crosby was so obnoxious in so many aspects of my growing up. I would run into a David Crosby story. I would hear a David Crosby comment. David Crosby would chime in on politics, or he'd chime in on the military, or he'd chime in on something else. And it always was like nails on a chalkboard to me. And I always thought to myself, if he were to pass away, you know, this would be my test to be the consistent person that I always claim I would be. And so on this horrible day where David Crosby is no longer on this earth, I would like to exercise that discipline and maturity by mourning him for the talent that he was and the impact that he had on the culture, and not on the fact that there was no reason why that man should have received a liver twice with his lifestyle and the way he attained that donor liver twice. And he also had ridiculous things to say about politics, and it was very cruel to people on the internet. All of those things should not ever put a cloud on his talent and how much joy and love he brought to the world, because he did. And he was super talented. And he brought a lot of love and a lot of joy to people that listened to his music. And sometimes, you know, you don't like someone or you don't agree with someone, and that shouldn't get in the way when they pass away. You should all, well, he's not here to defend himself. You should look at the life and the work and the professionalism and the fact that no matter what he believed or no matter what he said or no matter how he behaved, David Crosby was a music icon, and he was one of the most talented people to ever get involved in the profession. And the world is darker for not having that talent in our world. So rest in peace, David Crosby. God bless him for all that he did and all of his talent. And when you look at these folks that are passing away, I don't want to rank the losses. That seems a little bit cavalier. But these are some really big names. You know, there's Beck, there's Crosby, you know, you have to think to yourself, in the last, if we went back 10 years, the music geniuses that have passed away, the one that impacted you the most, you heard their music, forget the people, forget what they stood for. When you turned their music on, it did something to you. And maybe the music didn't actually inspire you, but it was just something that was happening in your life, and that song is now emblematic of that moment in your life. And a lot of times, our favorite songs aren't actually good songs or songs that we love. There's songs that remind us of a good moment. A song that brings you to a time when you had love or joy, or you were in your youth. And that you hear that song, you're right back in that moment. You're with your grandfather, you're with your mom, you're with your significant other, and it's just endless optimism and hope. And the song is played, and you're like, you're in that moment. Or you're going through a horrible time. And that song, singing that song or hearing that song reminded you of how you endured it. I remember with David Crosby, Ohio was a song that I didn't understand the Vietnam War. And although I am more than certain how I see Vietnam and how I see Vietnam veterans is probably 180 degrees from, you know, that point of view. I didn't live through it. I didn't serve in it, but I see valor and service at a completely different level. But that song, Ohio, it made me want to research. It made me want to know. It made me want to be educated and talk to Vietnam veterans. It helped shape me as a young man into asking questions of my father's generation as to what was really happening, what was really going on. And had it not been for David Crosby, had it not been for Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, I don't think I would have been motivated to do that. So there are certain things that David Crosby has done that have really shaped me and helped me understand. You know, because it's almost like a sarcophagus when you look at, for music in a generation that you weren't alive to appreciate, it's almost like you're unsealing a time capsule. And you're like, wait a minute, explain to me why this was controversy. Why would this was controversial? What about this band? What about this artist was something that nobody, why is David Bowie regarded as being one of the greats? What about, you know, Ziggy Stardust? What about that era of David Bowie was different? I don't understand it. Help me understand it. And Crosby was one of those guys where his politics and his music, and a lot of those folk singers, Phil Oakes, you know, Woody Guthrie, like all these, I wanted to know what was about the peace movement. Bob Dylan, why, what were the young people thinking? What were you thinking, Dad, Mom? What were you thinking, teacher? Mr. Nesbitt, tell me, you served in Vietnam. What was this like to serve and hear this music and the protests? Feed me information. Let me sponge it up. I give a lot of credit to David Crosby and his music for opening that up for me. And I think that's the power of it. That's the beauty of it. That's why it's so special to us. Right? That's that generation was saying something, telling a story, but they were also expressing their thoughts. They were outraged. They were angry. They used their art and their talent to try to, you know, it bring their point of view to other people, as many people as they possibly could, through popular culture. Lou and Amherst, what do you think about David Crosby?
Boy, you know, you're right on, David. Certain songs remind you of certain things, and it was in the military. And the big, when I was stationed in San Francisco working at the Letterman, I would hitch my hike or get over to Sausalito once or twice a week. And the big song of the day was Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. And those are the best of times and the worst of times. But that song has such a fond, fond memory of me because I was so happy that I was able to work and do something positive for these guys. And so that song really reminds me of a good time, of a good time. And your interest and fascination with David Crosby is quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, when famous people that are controversial pass away, I'm always horrified by the way people can't separate their disagreement or their difference of opinion with a life, with a human being. And I always knew that when David Crosby died, that was going to be my moment where I had to be like, well, put your money where your mouth is. You've been saying this annoys you. You can't be the one that says something inartful, clumsy, disrespectful about a human being, even though he's on a list of very few people that I could almost tell you everything David Crosby said in his life as a man, I either was offended by or thought was completely ignorant and zany. However, I take this moment to acknowledge that that talent and what he brought to the world far exceeds anything that was controversial or upsetting or disrespectful, and that he as a person had meaning and was super talented, one of the most talented people in the industry, and changed the industry. His harmonizing, I heard yesterday him singing with Paul Simon, and they were doing a Beatles cover. no one harmonizes like David Crosby. He is, and he was in his 70s. I mean, he's just an incredible talent.
Was.
David, I'm surprised how young you were when you became so politically cognizant of what's going on. How old were you when you first realized that David Crosby had some issues that you didn't agree with?
You know, I was super young. There was a Time magazine commercial that came on about the Vietnam War, and it was a book series that they were selling, and they asked, why didn't we just drop the bomb on Vietnam? And then they were playing a Crosby, Stills, and Nash song, and I was like, I don't understand. Tin soldiers and Nixon's coming. They're finally, like, four dead in Ohio. How did they die? Who killed them? What happened? And I remember just asking everyone, I think it was eight, asking everyone, how did these people die at Kent State? What happened? Who is David Crosby? What is this? Then I thought he was Gallagher smashing melons because they looked almost identical. But I didn't understand it. And I wanted to find out. And so I started to listen to veterans and listen to Vietnam veterans and realize, wow, there's a totally different story from what a teacher tells you, what a protester tells you, and what a Vietnam veteran tells you. And so I started to listen to both sides and think, you know, what would it be like to serve, lose your friends, and come home, and the girls you want to date, the guys you want to drink beers with, all think you are an ambassador of a policy that they disagree with. They're finding romance in protesting your service. What would that feel like? And it really made me want to, it made me want to serve. It made me want to fight.
You were so young. And I can remember David Crosby. I think the genesis of that song was right after the incident in Ohio. He called Crosby.
Hey, listen, Lou. I don't want to cut you off because I want to hear more about what you have to say about David Crosby. I got to go to a break. Let's move HES to the news. I got to go to a break, and I want to hear more from you. And I want to hear your Bills prediction, too, Lou and Amherst, as well as you. We're talking about the icons we lost. The Buffalo Bills game coming up, how you're feeling about it. 803-0930, back with your questions and calls right after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm reminded by my friend Jim, who just emailed, that Neil Young wrote that song, and but David Crosby passed away yesterday. David Crosby sings on that song, but Neil Young actually wrote the lyrics and the music to that. But David Crosby passed away, and to me, it's a reminder of how we can separate, you know, the things that we disagree with people once they pass on. Is there a way to memorialize and celebrate a person for their life, even if you find them to be, you know, someone that you're not a big fan of while they were on this earth? And I have to tell you, David Crosby was always in my heart and in my head. The day that David Crosby died would be the day that I was going to be tested, because when he was alive, it was not just his politics. It was the way he frothed and the venom that came out. It was a lot of the stuff he did towards soldiers. And I don't want to, again, there was a couple of moments where a group called Code Pink, against the war in Iraq, everyone, you have your right to protest what you want. And Crosby was, you know, supported that wing of the anti-war, anti-global war on terror protests. They did it at Walter Reed. Now, I can't think of anything more outrageous than protesting a war to the men and women who are wounded in that war. You got an issue, you got something to say, come to me. Go to the military post, go to the Pentagon, go to the White House, go to Congress. But to scream at windows, you got maimed for a lie, it did everything in my power not to go at those folks. It really, really worked me up. At a young age, coming home, I found myself like those Vietnam veterans I was talking to that were hearing that music when they came home. I was in this weird wormhole of listening to them, idolizing those Vietnam vets as a kid, to now thinking, what would it be like to be them, to now literally be in their position from the very individual who did it to them. It was the weirdest thing for me. And so, you know, I wasn't mature. I wasn't evolved. I developed a hatred of those people and of that ideology. And it took a lot of time, a long time, to release it and to realize people are going to be stupid and people are going to say things that hurt you. And your journey in life is to not control what other people do. It's to control your behavior. You control your reaction to what people do. I took a chunk of my life to figure that out because I wasn't built like that. And so I had to, that was part of my growth and my maturity to realize, hey, it's unfortunate that you're saying that. And I disagree with you. And I will debate you respectfully on our disagreement. But I'm not going to hold animosity or vitriol towards someone, even if you say repugnant, disgusting things. I'm protesting legless veterans for the war they didn't have a choice to serve. They volunteered and were deployed. Is the equivalent of protesting the Catholic Church by going at the victims of alleged sexual crime by priests. Why would you ever go to a victim that was abused by a member of the church and say you got raped for a lot? I mean, would that be ever appropriate? Would that ever be something anyone would sign up to do? Why would you hold a rally outside of Walter Reed Army Medical Center and shout at outside open windows of people convalescing with burns and losing limbs? It fired me up. And it took a long time for me to realize, hey, this isn't who I am. This isn't who I want to be. And so when I heard the news that David Crosby died, my reaction was, I'm going to be the man I say I am. And I'm going to say, this was an incredible, talented man who brought tons of love and joy and opened people's eyes and opened their hearts and opened their brains. And we should memorialize him for the talent, the world-class elite talent that he was. And that's how I'd like to remember him today. Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, well, again, I'm surprised you're so young to have such a remembrance of what went on in those early days. You know, I was not that politically. I was politically active where I was protesting a war here in town, but I guess I blocked out a lot of the bad stuff to protect myself. I would just block stuff out, and you did not. Obviously, you got more involved. But like, it was the best of times, and it was the worst of times those days. And the music still is the major thing I listen to is oldies. But I was shocked when in the 1990s, I was up at a cottage for the summer, and there were these 16 or 17-year-olds. Their favorite group was the Doors. I mean, these people weren't even alive when the Doors were out. And it's amazing how the music of that era still is with us today. And it's extremely important to me for the good and bad memories of my youth. And you are, I know you're so much younger, and yet you're so aware of this stuff, but I'm very surprised.
Well, it just, I appreciate your kind words. I just had amazing mentors, and I grew up in a community of really open-minded people that just were, I'm a product of my public school, and I had a great public school out in Orleans County. I appreciate it, Lou. It's very kind. One of the things, though, go, yeah, tell me about the Bills real quick.
Okay, I have to protect my mental health with these guys. I'm one of these guys that after the losing the four Super Bowls, they now put me into a state of high anxiety because what if they lose? And this is not only me. I got a good friend who's a very successful businessman. He went to all, I think he's about 60 years old, very successful. And I think he went to four Super Bowls, has not watched football since that Super Bowl loss, that fourth one, has not watched football. I have another friend who's 81 years old, huge Bills fan, goes to the Bills quarterback club and everything, supports them, will not watch the game. He DVRs it. He'll look over to see what the score must be. He might go to his phone. He will not watch the game until they win, and then he'll play it back in a DVR. And I am almost at that point where I have such anxiety, I start doing the same thing. I might watch the first few minutes, and then if it's not going well, I'll leave the house. I'll drive around. I'll go to a couple different bars. I'll stop at a couple different bars for the high energy, see what's going on, maybe talk to some friends. But that's the kind of anxiety it gives me. And I've got another good friend right now who's having a nervous breakdown. He said, did you listen to my phone? He's crying. He's crying so bad because I know he's got a mood disorder, but way over the top, he is crying. And when I spoke to him yesterday on the phone, he's crying still over the Bills. And I said, you go get a workout.
That might be a little bit over the top. But Lou, I'm with you. I'm far too invested in this team. And, you know, I appreciate your phone call, Lou. But it's true. I get far too worked up. And, you know, I talked to Dr. Epstein before and after every Bills game. And we'll watch it, you know, through our phones, basically, when we text each other. And he's always like, look, you got to show up and play football. You cannot have a late start in the playoffs. You can't just show up in the second half. You've got to be ready from the beginning. This late start stuff works in the regular season, not in the playoffs. There's a lot of truth to that. But the guys who didn't want to be watching, there's that mindset of Bills fans that don't want to watch the game because of their superstition or because of luck. I'm reminded that General Grant in the Civil War, he was never on the battlefield. That blew me away. He was the only general that delegated all of the instructions to his junior officers, and he always stayed in the base camp. And he would just smoke cigars and look at a map. He would have a runner give him updates on what's going on. He'd put that information out, but he never was on the battlefield. And Lee, famously on the battlefield, McClellan was a guy, which maybe he shouldn't have been, but he was on the, everyone was on the, there was a spot where the generals would sit on high ground with binoculars and watch. Grant would be far away from the battle space and he would just get the reports, and he could still conduct the battle from a distance because he didn't want to be emotionally connected to the ebbs and flows of a fight. He had this, he wanted to keep it pieces on the map. We're going to move here. We're going to swing the door, flank, envelop, artillery, support, indirect, push. That's what he did. And he was, you know, arguably the greatest general during on the North, at least. Stonewall Jackson on the ground. All those guys, Jeb Stuart, of course, leading on a horse on the ground. Grant was just smoking cigars in the back and watching it from a map and getting updates. And that's, I feel like there's a lot of Bills fans like that too. Like, I don't want to watch the game. I just want to hear what's going on. Tell me how we doing. Did we win? I'll watch it later. I can't take it. I get it. We're talking about David Crosby. We're also talking about the Bills and that whole era. Lori in Buffalo. What's on your mind, Lori?
Yeah, I'm a little bit older, a lot older than you are. And my brother-in-law served in Vietnam. And I know you're talking about Crosby, but what about Hanoi Jane? I mean, it seems like people have just forgiven her for everything. And she had such a huge presence and voice and destroyed the morale of the guys that were there and the families that had guys there. And there are people now that came back from the war that are still suffering from all these PTSD and breakdowns and lost families over it. And there's Jane Fonda happy as a lark, like, oops, I made a mistake. But, you know, no, Crosby's gone. Granted, I just don't get to how someone who's still popular in the public and who's still doing movies, I will not watch anything that she's in. I will just not watch anything. So,
you know, I got a funny James found it. First of all, Sean Penn famously during the Bush administration, Sean Penn was visiting Hugo Chavez. He sat down with Saddam.
Right.
He was anti-war. And they always try to, you know, make him and his politics somehow as anti-American and compare him to Jane Fonda. What Jane Fonda did was not make a statement about the war. There's a huge difference between making a statement about the war. And again, I don't question the patriotism or the heart of someone that's against policy, against war. I think we should all be against war. But when you are holding press conferences, not only with the enemy, but literally on the anti-aircraft guns that are killing and shooting down American planes, when you're celebrating with the spent shell casings of, you know, anti-aircraft fire that you know killed and maimed and wounded American servicemen in the skies, that's a little bit too far out for me to be able to say, you know, welcome back to the good old US of A. I mean, it's really hard to exercise that. What's so odd about Jane Fonda is she's never, ever been held accountable for it.
Nope.
Now, you go to a VFW, you go in American Legion, you're going to see her face on a urinal puck with John Kerry's, by the way. But the VFW and the Legions remember Jane Fonda. But the industry, there's no... And you ask her that question today, and she'll say, we've all moved on. I don't really feel like I need to, you know, talk about it. In the mid-2000s, I had a really good friend of mine. I was living in D.C. I was working for a not-for-profit veteran group. And one of my friends, his father was in finance, and he started dating this, you know, he had a new girlfriend. And we didn't, you know, we're older. We, you know, parents divorce and they move on. It's not a big deal. And so one of these things, he's like, have you met my father? And I'm like, I haven't met your dad. So I went to meet his dad and he was dating Jane Fonda. And it blew me away. I was like, first of all, is anyone going to bring this up? Like, is this the elephant in the room? Do I have to be the guy? You're working for a nonprofit veterans organization, your wonderful father. And she was a wonderful human being. I mean, she was, there was nothing about her that I didn't smell sulfur. You know, she was not evil. She was a fine, gentle lady and very happy and polite and kind. But I in my heart wanted to throw dinner bread at her. You know what I mean? Like upset, but that was what I realized was that was me. That was my reaction to the world and how unsustainable that is. You see a lot of anger, you know, a lot of young people, whether it's Black Lives Matter or it's 1619 or any of the issues that are polarizing, that anger becomes, it grows in you and you manifest it. And when the world starts coming at you and you have, you know, it's death by a thousand cuts in this world, your car breaks down, your roof collapses, and all of a sudden you're like, I can't handle this. It's too much pressure. What's going on? Well, all of that pressure, you're bottling that up. You're the one that is holding on to that anger and that, you know, I've got to get even. I don't understand why Kathy Hochul is doing what Kathy Hochul does, but I really am not going to have my life impacted by really bad policy. We only control how we respond. And if we start, you know, mirroring the hate that's out there, and there is hate out there, there are people that genuinely will hate you just because of who you vote for or how you see the world. You can't control those people, Lori. You've got to only control how you react. And so the Jane Fondas, the David Crosbys, the Neil Youngs, all of these folks that were trying to become young and hip again by finding romance in protesting servicemen and women, it took me 10 years to realize it's not personal. That's your viewpoint. I think it's repugnant. I think it's un-American, but I'm not gonna walk around and shave my head and put a bunch of piercings in my face because of your ideology or your words. I've got to come up with a way to be able to convince you or other people that you're insane. Yeah. And if I can't do that, then I'm not good enough to do it. But the point is, I'm not going to hate you for that. I'm not going to hold on to that and change who I am because I think you're twisted. And I think that's the way we should be. I really do.
Well, no, I agree with you. And I'm not angry. I think I'm more disappointed with the American public.
Oh, very much so.
At least refused to see her movies, or at least took a stand someplace. At least make a documentary.
It's been 60 years. Make a documentary and explain I was wrong. Just say I was wrong. And then we can all forgive and move on. You got to address it, though. You really do. Lori, appreciate you. And God bless your brother-in-law who served in Vietnam. When we come back, we are going to take on more topics and take your phone calls at 803-0930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And again, we're going to talk about the Sabres honored Ryan Miller yesterday. Really big deal. When you look at Buffalo sports icons, who are the underrated Buffalo sports people? And who's the modern Ryan Miller on the Sabres? Or the Bills? Do you think one day we're going to put Josh Allen up there? I think that'll happen. Who are the modern Buffalo sports icons that deserve more appreciation as we celebrate the Bills going in to the stadium on Sunday at 3 o'clock to face the Cincinnati Bengals? Big, big sports weekend in Buffalo. We'll take your phone calls after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!